I speak to you in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The river that flows between the big Shuswap Lake and the smaller one runs very fast and high, but in the opposite direction from my starting point as I set out to kayak. Excited about the fast run on my return trip, I braced myself for a hard paddle upstream. The first eddy I hit threw me hard and tried to keep me entangled in shoreline shrubbery. I should have let it spit me out and send me back where I started, but I was too determined and too fresh to give up so easily. I looked for a break in the spiral of the eddy to allow me to move forward. The flow of a river is nothing to mess with. It is an entity that is determined to move as one while reshaping itself all along the way. The ancient Greek philosopher, Heraclitus, heard of him? He developed the doctrine of flux and the unity of opposites. He saw that everything is in flux and that opposites are identical and inseparable from each other. So everything both is and is not at the same time. This is why, although we value stability and certainty, and usually view change with apprehension, we also find comfort in things that are in a state of constant change and transformation. Heraclitus saw no better illustration of this than a river. He noticed how the water flowing through it is always different, yet the river remains the same, creating a unity of opposites. It is this ambiguity that we find pleasurable and desirable. At least most of us do. If either by getting into a kayak and riding the current of flux and unity of opposites, or observing it safely but wondrously from the shoreline. It isn't pleasurable or desirable, though, to stay circling one's stern on an eddy without being able to break free of it. John the Baptist is spending his days in a spiritual eddy in the River Jordan, caught in the spiraling currents of those days we have heard about in St. John's gospel story. Day after day, John is in the river teaching, baptizing, and telling people to keep their eyes open for someone who is going to come and break them free from the turbulent flow they are caught in. The day after a Jewish assembly of leaders came and went, John is back at the river, watching it move and seeing how it is the same as the day before, but not the same. The river is a sign that the course of God's history of salvation with her people is moving in a direction that feels the same, but isn't the same. He is at the river, watching and waiting to identify the one God has told him to look for. The one who is greater than him, for he existed before him. The one who has run the course of history like a roaring river and is living among them to reveal the Spirit's final and lasting act of repairing the damage done by the conflicting undercurrents of human sin. That day ends and a new day comes, and we are with John at the river again. This time, as he says, I myself did not know him, Jesus appears. He comes towards John looking like an Olympian kayaker, powerfully built to easily and proficiently run over the eddies of the river and change the flow of the river in doing so. The Spirit before time, you see, the force of all life and liberty is upon Jesus. John spills out the words, look, here is the one come as the Lamb of God to liberate the whole world from sin. The Spirit's mark on Jesus cleared up any ambiguity for John that the Son of God has finally showed up on the shoreline of humankind to baptize everyone with the Holy Spirit. Something bigger than the exodus of God's people from Egypt is about to happen. The world is on the verge of a breakthrough which will free it from its collective brokenness. The appearance of the one God chosen to do this has caused no little flux in the flow of the River Jordan. The way things have been going in the world, in and around Israel in those days, has stirred up a renewed attention to God's promises to come and to save them. John declares, "I'm telling you, that's your man. That's your God. The God of the world come to change the course of history and release the Spirit to run her course of life and wholeness to all who will come to her shores." But John's words seem to do little to pull Jesus into action. He comes towards John, but doesn't do anything. Jesus doesn't turn to the people and say, "Yep, I'm the one." We are left wondering at this point if he doesn't know himself as much as, say, John, or any more than John does. John's words seem to sink like stones in water, kind of like descending into the waters of Jesus' consciousness, so that he would look deeply into himself and realize what it meant for the Spirit to have descended upon him at his baptism. What John is saying about him stirs up a reminder in Jesus of Isaiah's prophecy. "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." That's what it means to be the Lamb of God. Well, Jesus walks away from the river that day, feeling the pull of the Spirit, feeling a positive ambiguity within himself, though. Words are moving in him, making him feel the same and yet not the same. Sense himself having existed before time, but now here on the shores, existing as the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the servant of God, anointed by the Spirit, as the prophet Joel told when he said, "Then Israel, you will know that I am among you, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. My people will never be despised again. Afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on everyone." Between the first day and the second day that we hear in John's Gospel, Jesus is caught in an eddy rather than running the river as an Olympic kayaker who knows what he's doing and how to do it. On the second day that we hear of, Jesus doesn't even walk towards John this time, but determines to pass him by. John is once again, of course, at the river, directing people's attention to the Lamb of God. But once again, Jesus makes no response. He silently walks on, looking for all the world positively ambiguous. The inner currents of thoughts and emotions and prophecies are fluctuating within him, pulling him this way and that way. This time, however, John's declaration, "There's the Lamb of God," pulls two of John's listeners towards Jesus to follow him, Andrew and Philip. We understood it to be Philip. John's words forcefully break the spiraling eddy of ambiguity apart to propel Andrew and Philip to move away from John and to follow after Jesus. Things are moving now, moving in the right direction, moving everyone under the direction of the Holy Spirit, moving the world into the age of the rule of God's river of healing and justice through her anointed one, Jesus Christ. John's testimony about Jesus was to encourage all who have been coming to the river to hear him speak and be baptized. Go now, go and follow Jesus, not him. John was okay with the way things were changing and transforming. He and Jesus were running the same river that is now not the same. He was willing to learn this, and more than anything, he had courage to help Jesus see what was difficult for him to see without a bit of spiritual guidance from John. And what was that guidance? What was it that Jesus came to see, to firmly believe as John did, that he was the Son of God, who could call people to who they were meant to be, call them to live as sons and daughters of God, and usher in the age of the Spirit for the whole world to be healed and made whole. You see, Jesus called people out after they began to come to him and to stay with him. Simon becomes Peter, just like Abram became Abraham and Sarai became Sarah. As promised, the Spirit has come to call us and gift us with the one and same Holy Spirit to liberate us and move us into the flow of God's work of bringing wholeness to the world. The Spirit does this one person at a time, one identity transformed at a time, uniting us together in the work of the Spirit of God. We need spiritual guides to help us to become aware of this, to help us to go deep under the water of our souls and reflect on the truth of what and who we are. John did this for Jesus. Jesus does it for those who start following him, and we are meant to do this for each other. In so doing, the river of the Spirit flows on through the course of our days, reshaping history and changing our internal and external landscapes. Have you ever had a John the Waymaker in your life? Someone who has helped you see God walking towards you? Someone calling you by your name and directing you to the path the Spirit longs for you to take? Have you had someone who, when they see you coming, knows your real name, your true identity in God, if even you don't? Maybe you've had such a friend or a guide pop up unexpectedly here and there, or stay with you over months and even years of your life. I have had such a companion for years now. I've had a spiritual director who faithfully sits with me in the presence of the Holy Spirit, inviting me to answer the question, "What are you looking for?" My answer is often difficult to find, as difficult as the swirling eddies of the river this life catches me up on. With determination, a breakthrough comes. Jesus walks by and I see what is trapping me up or dragging me down, and let the Spirit tug me out of broken habits and ideas and patterns that I've been following to release me to follow the Lamb of God. Some of you know that I meet with people individually to be a spiritual guide. Though I have received training to do so, it isn't something only priests are called to do. Everyone in this age of the Spirit is called to be an anamkara to someone else, a soul friend, a spiritual companion. I am inviting you to do the same. Now, back to this river. I did struggle with all my might to go upstream on that river in the Shuswap. At times I paddled hard and went nowhere. But eddy by eddy, I made my way to the other lake, where there I collapsed on the sandbank, took a breath before running the river in the other direction, and it was a thrill. It was worthwhile. I was not the same. The river was the same, but not the same. And this is an example of spiritual transformation, the transformation that we all, whether we know it or not, long for, and how much, and it says to me how much we need companions, to be brave, to be companions, and to look for spiritual companions. There is a pleasure, a comfort even, in riding the current of constant change and transformation. We want that for the world. It begins with us. Amen. Amen.